Recognizing information. 1.
The homing instinct of pigeons. Pigeons have a homing instinct, and this is what makes them popular for racing. But you have to start training a bird when it's young, so a bird's training begins when it's about 7 weeks old. At first, this training consists of giving it short exercise flights, teaching the bird to recognize its owner's call. It also has to be taught to enter its cote. The pigeon's home. Then, the next phase. When the bird is about 4 months old, the next phase of training is started. In this stage, the pigeon is taken short distances from its home and then released. So the distance of these flights is gradually extended from 3 miles up to 100 miles as the bird's stamina increases. And then, when the pigeon is ready, the owner may enter it in a race against other trained pigeons. So the owners take their birds to a central meeting place, and all the birds are tagged. The tag is a small metal ring attached to one leg. Then they are released all at once, simultaneously. All these birds take off for home. Now, a bird is not considered to be home until it has entered its cote. That's why it's important to teach it to enter its cote. And its owner removes the tag, and this is inserted into this special kind of clock that records the bird's arrival time. Because owners live at different distances from the release point, the first pigeon home may not be the fastest flyer. It's the bird that makes the best time in flying the distance home. That bird is the winner.
In the lecture, the speaker describes the steps in pigeon training. Indicate whether each of the following is a step in the process. Two.
I wanted to talk today about the American suffragettes who finally won their battle for the right to vote when the right to vote in a Democratic election was extended to women in 1919. But because of women's equal rights being harmed by discriminatory legislation, the ERA, Equal Rights Amendment, was introduced in 1923. This was a special time when the feminist symbolized a young generation of women. It was a time in America's history young women were carefree, exuberant, eager to break out of traditional roles and enjoy personal independence. All this optimism came to an end during the Great Depression, an economic crisis precipitated by a stock market crash in 1929. Okay? At the depth of the Depression, over one-third of the labor force, let me repeat that, one-third of the labor force, that is, one out of every three people, was unemployed. As you can imagine, as men lost their jobs, they became resentful. They became resentful toward those women who had jobs, whose jobs were protected because of the Equal Rights Amendment. This resentment became widespread, and laws were passed that restricted women's rights. One such law was the Married Persons Clause. Okay? The Married Persons Clause prevented the civil service from hiring more than one member of a family. This law left many women unemployed, following the assumption that a man is or should be the primary wage earner. Many school boards fired married women. Even women in positions of power supported policies that made women's conditions worse rather than improve them. Now, at the same time that women were losing their rights, there was a propaganda campaign by social workers and public figures, which was intended and effectively did its job of convincing women that their responsibility, their duty, was to maintain family values. A consequence of this campaign was the strengthening of belief in traditional roles and an acceptance on the part of women to stay at home instead of pursue a career.
In the lecture, the professor describes events that undermined the gains the suffragettes had made in women's rights. Indicate whether each of the following is an event that hampered the movement. Three.
In the natural world, a multitude of symbiotic relationships has developed between different organisms. In many of these, the partnership is one-sided. In other words, one of the symbionts, the two creatures involved in the partnership, one of the symbionts benefits from the association while the other may be harmed by it. Sometimes two species develop a relationship that is beneficial to both parties. This is called mutualism. Okay, so a symbiotic relationship in which both organisms benefit is called mutualism. Let me give you an example of such an alliance. The relationship of ants and aphids. Aphids are tiny, pear-shaped insects that typically feed exclusively on a particular plant. I think most of you have seen them. They live in crowded clusters on the underside of leaves or on stems. The aphid's mouthparts are adapted to piercing plant tissue and sucking out the sap. They're very efficient at getting the sap, but they can't metabolize it all, so they have to get rid of it, okay? So, from the back of the insects are two cornicles, kind of like a tailpipe of a car, protruding from the back of the insects. The aphids get rid of this sap by secreting it from these tailpipes, these cornicles. This sap, a sticky substance called honeydew, is high in nutritive value. The honeydew falls onto the ground or onto the leaves of the plant and is collected by ants. The ants use this honeydew substance as a food source. Some ant species stroke the back end of aphids. Sometimes these aphids are called the ants' cows. The ants stroke the aphids with their legs and antennae in order to stimulate the flow of the honeydew liquid. It's thought that aphids may actually withhold the honeydew, waiting until ants caress them. Some ants take care of whole herds of aphids. They build shelters for the aphids and carry them to new plants, when the old plants die. So, the aphids' mouthparts, as I said, are adapted to piercing the leaves and sucking out sap. In contrast, the ants' mouthparts are not well modified for getting the sap from plants. So, the ants rely on the aphids to get the sap for them. The aphids are not well adapted for fighting off predators, and consequently they rely on ants to provide this protection service for them. See the mutualism? Both these creatures, ants and aphids, benefit from this arrangement of close cooperation. This relationship is somewhat analogous to the relationship between cattle and human beings.
In the lecture, the professor describes a relationship between ants and aphids. Indicate whether each of the following is a benefit that aphids get from ants.